May I speak in the name of the triune God, who is Father, Son, and Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. There is, in Anglicanism, a long tradition of making the curate preach on Trinity Sunday. We do not have a curate, so today we are making do with a trainee reader. A trainee reader, moreover, who is probably the most linear and concrete thinker in the parish, and whose essay on the Trinity isn't due in until the end of February. Okay, so, God is God, from eternity to eternity, out of time, out of space. Christian God is triune. There is one God, but God is three, Father, Son, and Spirit. In the familiar words of the Western Church, one substance, three persons, the divine paradox of unity and diversity. To describe this, the linguistic word play has, over the centuries, taken the Church to the limits of language and imagination. Concepts are taken, blessed, broken, and given in her attempts, but with the certainty that our understanding will be impaired by the limitations of our humanity. Substance, that which lies under, the whatness of God, we can just about manage. The analogy we were given last year was that of a rock falling from a mountain. A sculpture is made from the rock. Come the revolution, the sculpture is reduced to rubble, which is made into a road. But the substance, that which lies under, the realness of the rubble in the road, is the same as that which lies under the mountain from which the rock fell. And so it is with the Trinity, as long as we do not reduce God to rubble. If we remember that the divine substance, that which lies under the persons of the Trinity, isn't ectoplasm, or rock, or a cloud, or marshmallow, or anything we can imagine. We can't see it or feel it. It exists outside the physical and is unchanging from eternity to eternity. This is the unity of God. The diversity of God. How can we conceptualize three persons, the who-ness of God, in one substance, three persons who act individually but are one? Who, and this is my obligatory Rowan Williams quote, make the divine plurality, each distinguished by its relationship with the others, a going out from individuality to identity with each other. Three persons, God the Father, the unbegotten, God the Son, eternally begotten by the Father, who was sent by the Father as the Word incarnate, and God the Spirit, who eternally proceeds from the Father, and in the West from the Son. The point to grasp here is the relationship between the persons is dynamic, continuous. The Son, born in Bethlehem at one point in created time, is eternally born, eternally crucified, and eternally risen from the dead. The Spirit, sent at Pentecost, is sent and resent from eternity to eternity. Person, persona, hearing through, is a relation word. And it's through the triune relationship with the world that we recognize God in his actions. The God who is creator, redeemer, sustainer, though not as a hierarchy, creator, redeemer, sustainer, but in a relationship, creator, redeemer, and sustainer, which has a mutuality at its center. Creation of something new may arise out of redemption. Similarly, we know that the Sustainer is in and through all of creation, always. And we recognize God by the threeness of his acts. Now I'd like to tell you a story. A few weeks ago, I was vaguer than usually at the Wednesday 8 a.m. service. This was because I had suddenly realized how I could illustrate the dynamic of the persons, their action with the created world. I am training to be a reader at St. Melita's College. There are not many of us in my year 6, now reduced by illness to 5. One dubious delight of the St. Melita's system is formation groups, a peculiarly St. Melita's way of making one wish one was elsewhere. Their intent is what it says on the label, to change us, to develop us, to form and reform us. The 6 of us form, pun intended, a formation group. We are very different educationally, socially, by marital status, by churchmanship. When we first met in the autumn of 2015, we were all apprehensive and defensive. To say there were teething problems would be an understatement. Our edginess with each other culminated in a major row during our first study week. But somehow we had to find a way of working together on a liturgy project, and we had to lead 3 services during the summer term. With gritted teeth, extreme politeness, and many emails, we managed it, going our separate ways for the summer. When we met again in September, something had shifted. I wouldn't say we were glad to see each other, but we weren't actively defensive anymore. Over the autumn term, something gelled, and by the time we had to put together another service, we had distinct roles. I'm told I'm organized, another she's efficient, and the others volunteer, and I actually do mean volunteer, to do anything necessary. When our formation tutor came into the meeting, clearly expecting to have to break up a fight, he found a group of people sitting around discussing the weather. It was the only occasion, so far, I've seen him lost for words. And slowly, but surely, this meeting of minds has continued. We now look out for each other. I seem to have developed into the best at locating references. Others are good at extempore prayer. We sit together at an evening meal and chat about the last week. For our last group in May, we were put in a room together and told to pray for one another while I sought out the first year's turn to lead worship. And we actually managed to, or rather the others did. I'm usually silent on these occasions. And we prayed for 2 of us who were not present, but we were concerned about. Staring vacantly at the flower bed while I was waiting for morning prayer to end, I recognized in our transformation from a collection of people who were almost at each other's throats to a cohesive group was the work of the divine relationship of the persons in the triune God. First, I could identify the action of the Redeemer. The second, that of the Sustainer, who was, almost tangibly, with us that Tuesday evening in March and again in May. And finally, that of the Creator, who is making from that diverse group something new. I wonder what the work in progress will be like when we finish, and if what was, is, will be created, will be strong and enduring enough for us to keep in touch with one another. And I realize what Bishop Rowan meant when he wrote that the inner life of the Trinity is relational, where the divine plurality, 3 persons, 1 substance within the Godhead, act in their diversity as creator, redeemer, and sustainer, and act simultaneously in their unity as God. If we try to imagine that the shift from individuality as their actions, as persons, to identity in the unity of God is dynamic, continuous, then we might begin to recognize that the persons meet us as God acts in his world as God, including within that motley group of people who are second-year trainee readers. May we all recognize the triune God, three persons in one substance, as he works among us to create, redeem, and sustain. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and always. Amen.